Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
In 2 days, don't miss the return of former heavyweight champion Andy Ruiz as he takes on rugged veteran Chris Arreola, plus a stacked card of Mexican firepower. It all goes down Saturday live on pay-per-view by now on foxsports.com/PPV and watch on any screen.
Business today moves faster than ever. If you're slow to adapt, you're still running on QuickBooks, get out of there. Hit the gas and accelerate with NetSuite. Go to netsuite.com/herd. So he's a Hall of Fame executive. He's a friend. He's got a podcast called Inside Football Podcast with Bill Polian. 32 years as a scout and as executive. 6 times he was named the best executive in the entire league. 13-plus division title games. I'm reading all this stuff. He's like Drew Brees as an executive. I got all these accomplishments and awards. He drafted Peyton Manning, Thurman Thomas, Edgerrin James, Reggie Wayne, Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis. That's pretty good. So Bill Polian's going to join me. So here's the story, Bill. Okay, Bill, here it is. So Jay Glazer reported a few teams today have called the Packers about trading for Aaron Rodgers. Tom Pelissero, a guy I trust. The Niners reached out to the Packers today about Aaron Rodgers. Pro Football Talk says the Niners offer the number 3 pick and more for Aaron Rodgers. Holy moly, Bill. What do you make of that?
Well, it's not surprising, Colin, because most people figured that this season might well be Aaron Rodgers' last season in Green Bay. Love is behind him. There are cap issues, etc. So if he's going to be available next year, why not inquire to see if he's available this year? It's an inquiry. It doesn't hurt to make the phone call, that's for sure.
So it's funny. So Green, most of the time when we talk about the draft, we talk about a lot of bad teams at the top of the draft. But I said the one good team I'm interested in is Green Bay. So it's a good team. They don't have a ton of holes. They could use, to me, they could use a 2 receiver, a corner, and maybe a linebacker. But they've got 10 picks. Now, when I look at their draft board, they may not have to move up big in the first round because I think they could get that linebacker if they wanted. But here's my question, Bill. When you have a good roster, which you did by the end in Buffalo, and you did in Indianapolis, and you've got a good roster, and you don't have 9-10 guys that can make the team, and I'm Green Bay and I've got 10 picks, did you ever go into a draft with the Bills or Colts thinking, listen, I got 2 small holes. I got to address those. I don't worry about. Did you ever have a team that was so good, Bill, that you knew your draft picks couldn't all make your team?
Only in the early going at Buffalo. Once free agency came in, then you have repeat holes every year. You have more than a couple every year because you got to think about the players that you lost. In Green Bay's case, it's the center, Lindsley. And then you got to think about the players that are older. And you got to think about the players you might lose next year. So there are always holes now in the free agency era.
So San Francisco has been very covert, Bill. Nothing's gotten out on the Garoppolo trade, on Trent Williams, on moving up in the draft. Yet, in the last month, Bill, everything out of San Francisco is leaking. And I'm suspicious. I'm like, time out. Nothing leaked for 3 years, and now they're the biggest gossips in the league. Shouldn't I be a little suspicious with all these San Francisco rumors?
I think that's a fair statement.
Did anything get out when you were doing this for years? Could you always control the information?
Yes. We tried very hard to control the information, and stuff still got out.
Who?
Believe it or not.
Who's leaking it?
Shane Conlon. It came through a fourth party who heard it from someone who heard it from someone else who heard it from someone else. And Dave Anderson on the morning of the draft called me and said, I hear you draft. Dave Anderson, by the way, as you know, one of the most respected football writers in the country for the New York Times, called and said, I hear you drafting Shane Conlon. I nearly fainted.
So when you look at these quarterback prospects, it does, Bill, And this is speculation, but it does look like we got three or four really special kids. And there is speculation, if you look at the board next year, it's not a great quarterback class. Now, did you ever look at it that way, that some years it was a great corner draft and you needed one, and next year wasn't? Did you look a year or two ahead in drafts?
Yeah, we did, but it didn't really make a big difference, because somebody always crops up. Norm Pollum, who was my boss in Buffalo when I first got there, used to say, somebody's got to play. So you recognize that there'll be players coming to the fore every year. Concentrate on the thing you're doing now. If you had a paucity in one draft, like there's a real paucity of defensive linemen in this draft, you can be sure the wheel will turn, and next year there will be more of them. That's a cycle that repeats itself.
So you have a history. You were great with your first two picks. You just hit them, and that, by the way, even guys like Pete Carroll have had struggles in the first round. You tell me, why did you have such great success in the first round? And by the way, you didn't always have great first round picks. You were bottom of the first a lot. Why did you do so well with your first couple of picks?
Because we knew exactly what kind of player we were looking for. So there was a template that we followed religiously. We didn't deviate from it. The height, weight, the speed, the ability to play the position, the characteristics of the individual, we never varied on that. And as a result, you get a player who fits for your system and fits for your franchise, and he has a better chance of doing well in that circumstance.
Did you have a proudest draft moment that you look back and you're a humble guy, but you were proud of what you and your staff did?
Well, I think the Peyton Manning pick, because everybody has amnesia now, but you'll remember back then it was not a slam dunk.
That's right.
Peyton Manning was the number one pick. Ryan Leaf was the favorite,
yep,
of many in the media and the Cognoscenti and what have you. So that one took a little doing. And in the end, we finally said, we've got to go with our gut. Peyton Manning is the kind of person that we want on this football team. And we may be wrong on the athletic evaluation and all the rest of that, but the bottom line is he's the kind of person that we want. And so he'll succeed. And so that one's gratifying.
By the way, didn't the interview, it wasn't the game tape, wasn't the interview what sealed it for Peyton Manning for you?
Well, no, it didn't seal it, but you have 20 minutes at the combine to interview the player. He came in, sat down, took out a yellow legal pad and said, I have a few questions. Would you mind answering them? He said, no, not at all. Next thing we know, the horn blows. Beep, the interview's over. He said, well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. I hope you draft me. I'm anxious to come to Indianapolis, and good luck. He walked out of the room and we said, holy mackerel, he interviewed us, not the other way around. Little did we know that would be the future.
It was. Well, so of all these quarterbacks out there, I've said it, Trevor Lawrence feels like more of a prodigy. The rest of them are really good prospects, and it's going to take coaching and where they land and a good GM. What do you make of Trey Lance, who's played one football game in about a year and a half, but boy, oh boy, physically, the interviews, does it worry you a little bit? He's been so inactive for a year and a half.
Yeah, well, a lot worries me. First of all, he's only played 18 games, and it's not at the Alabama level. It's not in the playoffs. So that worries you some. Now, the talent is obvious and arresting. Everything I hear from my friends in the league is that all the intangibles are good. This is a guy who's probably not ready to play this year, but may be ready to play next year and really have a great career ahead of him. So he's a conundrum in one sense, because there's not a lot of tape to look at. There's not a lot of experience in his football bank, if you will. But, boy, is he a big talent.
By the way, let's take Cincinnati number 5. So I was thinking about this, Bill. So they have a left tackle they like a lot and a center they like, but it's not a great unit. But Burrow played with Ja'Marr Chase at LSU, who looks like about as good a college receiver as you're going to get. Big, strong, athletic kid. So if you run Cincinnati and Joe Burrow is off an injury, and if you look at those scars, Bill, those are big boy scars. That was a real injury.
Mm-hmm.
Would you? I said the other day, I said, I think I'd, if I was a GM, I'd protect my butt here. I think I would getting Ja'Marr Chase, but I feel like I can get receivers everywhere. Would you go O-line or receiver? Because I don't. It just feels like these days you can get receivers in the second, third, and fourth round. What would you do there?
Well, you're in the fifth spot in the draft. So if you follow the book of Levy and Dungy, both coaches that I worked with, and they both believed the very same thing. When you're in the top 10, you should draft a quarterback if he can win for you, B, a player who touches the ball and scores touchdowns, a running back, a wide receiver, a tight end if he's special. Finally, a defender who ends games, who sacks the quarterback. So if you don't have any of those, the next most important position is left tackle. So now do you have a bona fide left tackle who you can plug in and play and say, this guy is going to play for the next 10 years. But that's the last choice in that sort of pecking order, if you will.
Yeah.
So if you're convinced that there's a game-breaking receiver there, you're probably wisest to do that because this is a pretty good draft for offensive linemen and you can get them down below. I'll share another story with you. The great Whitey Duvall, who put together the great Marty Schottenheimer's Kansas City Chiefs teams, was an offensive line coach. We worked together in the USFL, and he was a crusty old guy, as most line coaches are. I sat with him at the combine the year that Mandarich and Barry Sanders were coming out.
Yeah.
And I said, Whitey, what would you do? Would you take Tony Mandarich or would you take Barry Sanders? He looked at me and said, have you lost your mind? I said, no, I'm just asking you the question. He said, Tony Mandarich is going to block one guy. Barry Sanders is going to make 11 guys miss.
That's great. That's great. I got to remember that one. I'm going to steal that one. That one's so good. The that is really funny. All right. Give me a moment, because you are so methodical and you're so detailed. I talked to a general manager last night and I said, are you excited? And he said, no, I'm anxious because I can't control anything. If I had the number one pick, I'd be having a party tonight. But I got, you know, I'm deeper. Did you ever, what was your mental state before a draft as somebody as well thought out and planned as you, knowing you can't control three or four picks in front of you?
Well, you have to be ready to react. So when you're from, let's say, 15 or so on down, you absolutely have to be ready to react. You have to expect that something crazy is going to happen. You have to be able to react to it. You have to analyze it. You have to be on your toes. So there was not a lot of idle chatter. There was certainly no conjecture about this or that or the other thing. We were just looking at the board and waiting to see what would happen. And we knew that there were pivotal picks along the way that would affect us. So we were prepared to do something if something happened. Best story of all is the year Shane Conlon came out. We traded down from 3 to 7. We were sure we were going to get him at 7. We were sitting in the draft room, and we find out that the Cleveland Browns have jumped over us to 5. And Ralph Wilson, our owner at the Buffalo Bills, was furious. He said to me, did you know anything about this? Did you know this was going to happen? I said, Mr. Wilson, I haven't a clue. I'm as astounded as you are. I hadn't heard a word about it. And I started to pace and pray. And as it turned out, Cleveland took Mike Junkin, I believe, and Shane Conlon was there for us. But we were caught flat-footed, and it will happen. And I learned the lesson from that. You can be caught flat-footed, and you probably will, but be prepared to react when it happens.
Oh, boy. Well, good news, Cleveland took the wrong guy. So that they moved over you. They took the wrong guy.
Mr. Wilson said to me, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
So Inside Football Podcast with my friend Bill Polian. Funny, insightful, thoughtful. His career, he'll dial it down. Lots of great stories. Bill, I always love talking to you, my friend. The Hall of Famer. Thank you so much.
Great to see you, Colin. Thank you.
It's crazy, right? Like, he got flat-footed, but the Browns did the Browns and drafted the wrong guy.
You know, we do mock drafts here on the show leading up, and...
You just don't know.
You've been, you know, I won't say caught flat-footed, but thrown through a loop, you know, so imagine when there's actually stuff on the line.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
At Mercedes-AMG, giving 110% isn't just possible, it's mandatory. Go to mbusa.com/AMG, Mercedes-AMG, it's what I drive. Driving performance, Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
All right. So the Packers have reportedly been receiving calls about a trade for Aaron Rodgers. One of the teams that has reached out is the 49ers. One report said the third pick tonight, Jimmy Garoppolo, as well as other picks and players would have been available in a deal. However, Tom Pelissero reported that no formal offer was made and that there is a 0% chance that the Packers will trade Rodgers. This is
Well, listen, they drafted a quarterback first round last year. You're not going to sit there for 4 years.
This is a little surprising to hear, but when you take a step back from it,
you're like, yeah,
shoot or shoot. All right.
Okay. And by the way, Joy, this report wouldn't shock us. I don't think after this season, we would suspect the calls would start. It's a little early because Jordan Love didn't have a preseason. We didn't watch him play. He's third on the depth chart, but this is going to happen in a year, or about nine, by the way, 9 months from today, this story's going to be out there a lot if it doesn't happen now, which is we're taking calls for Aaron. Because first round of Jordan Love, if he's not ready to play by the next year, then he's a bust. He can't play.
Doesn't this kind of tell you, if the Niners were talking about making a trade like this, that they're not really convinced about any of the quarterbacks at three?
I think they want Mac Jones, Kyle does, and I think in the building, there is so much negativity around this move that, by the way, what would solve the negativity? We got Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, everybody be like,
everyone's on the same page about that.
Who cares about the picks? It's all over. So I do think in the building, Kyle's the power. Kyle wants Mac. It's getting crushed in the Bay Area. And I do think there's a lot of scouts that are like, Kyle, this kid ain't close athletically to Fields and Trey. He's like not close. People like Daniel Jeremiah, who I trust, have Mac Jones 5.
The Niners are it's so interesting what's going on with the Niners surrounding the draft, because they never have leaks. There's all these leaks. You would think there would be more trust in what they do from the fan base, but now you have Mac Jones. Nobody in the fan base likes Mac Jones.
By the way,
now you have this Aaron Rodgers story.
What if San Francisco said, Green Bay, you can move up to 3, And Green Bay says there's zero chance, but if they did take it, they'd get like 7 picks. And by the way, so you'd say, well, Jordan Love, but Green Bay could draft another quarterback.
Of course, and they were going to give him Jimmy Garoppolo too.
Listen, I get Garoppolo and 7 picks.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, The Athletic ranked their greatest number one overall draft picks in the NFL. Peyton Manning took the top spot thanks to his 2 Super Bowls and 5 league MVPs. John Elway came in second, also in part to his 2 Super Bowls and that he ended his career on. Here is a list of some of the bigger names. Peyton Manning, John Elway, Bruce Smith is 3, Troy Aikman 4.
Ed Too Tall Jones was a number one pick. I wouldn't have guessed that. Ed Jones played for the Cowboys. They called him Too Tall because he was 6'7".
He's very tall, yes. Terry Bradshaw, Earl Campbell.
By the way, okay, so this is the Athletic's top 50 number one NFL draft picks all time.
Don't have Myles Garrett, Baker, Kyler Murray, and Joe Burrow because they haven't played enough for a full assessment.
That's fine, but what it tells you is there's a lot of misses.
Yeah.
Because we get Peyton, John Elway, Bruce Smith, Troy, and Bradshaw. Okay. I don't know. It tells you if Jared Goff is the 34th best number one pick, there's been a few misses.
Yes. Bo Jackson at 36.
I mean, Cam's 12.
Cam is 12. Michael Vick is 14. Eli Manning 13. Yeah, it's a very interesting list, though. I think I would probably swap Bradshaw and Aikman. Right?
Bradshaw was drafted when it wasn't on television. What's amazing about that is he went out fishing with his dad.
Draft day, his draft day story.
He
is
wasn't
great.
Even around a television.
No, I think his dad didn't let him go.
Oh, that's right.
He had prepared to go fishing. He had packed his truck, and his dad told him, you can't go because you got to be here to answer the phone.
By the way, next year's number one pick, I'll make a guess now. Now, it'll probably be a quarterback, but Oregon's got a defensive end, unblockable at the college level. So he's going to go, again, if there's a team that needs a quarterback. You know, it's funny. Just think this morning, Joy. Let's guess who would have the number one pick next year. Like, who's – I think it's going to be like Houston.
Yeah.
Or Philadelphia. I think those are bad football teams. So, Deshaun Watson. I think if Deshaun plays, you're not getting rid of Deshaun Watson. Philadelphia may go quarterback. There really is no guarantee for number one because the historically bad franchises like Cincinnati is not going to be that bad. Jacksonville's not going to be terrible.
Remember during the season.
Detroit.
But also remember during the season this year, we were like, oh, there's not going to be that many people taking a quarterback this year. And then look where we are. Like, it could be five in the top 10.
Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Best for laugh. Two truths and a lie. We'll try to squeeze some in before the draft tonight. Two truths and a lie.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, Tim Tebow, true story, being reported now, multiple sources called the Jags, said, Urban, can I be a tight end for your team? And Tim Tebow worked out with the Jags, tight end coach, Urban Meyer, Tim Tebow, very close. Don't know if he makes the team. At least he acknowledges now he's not a quarterback in the league. He never was. This is what he can do. He could be a tight end.
I love it so much.
By the way, we were just talking during the break. This whole thing, the story's out now. San Francisco called Green Bay, multiple sources about Aaron Rodgers. It sounds crazy. But you run Green Bay. You drafted a quarterback last year. You get Garoppolo, the number three pick, four other number ones. So I would have Garoppolo, Jordan Love, and if I'm not sold on Jordan Love, I would have the capital to draft another quarterback.
We have the number three pick. You could take any of these quarterbacks you want.
Or do the deal now, and could you trade it again tonight?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously, I know you think you can't take the phone call. Well, you got to take the phone call next year because you drafted a first-round quarterback. So if you're going to take a call next year, if you knew you were going to move out of your house next year, or you were going to consider it, and somebody called you a year early and said, I'm going to give you more now than I would then, would you not consider it?
Of course.
Of course. If you were going to, you and your wife made a decision, I'm going to consider leaving my company that I really like in a year. We're going to start. And then a year earlier, somebody said, not only can you leave it now, but you're going to get a better job potentially. Like, to me, if you're going to take a call in a year on something, if somebody offers you something better a year early, pivot. I'm not nothing against Aaron Rodgers, but he's the number one cap hit in the league next year. They can't move anything. They don't. I mean, listen, they're close to Tampa, but in the end, you got to take the call.
I think the call was taken, but there was no offer.
But it said here, zero chance. Whoa, time out. Zero chance? Just take this out of football. We know because of his cap hit and because of drafting Jordan Love, we know Green Bay is going to take calls on this by next year.
But in this scenario, you would get Jimmy Garoppolo, who obviously we know is not reliable, but you also get the number three pick.
And multiple picks with
right,
it.
And players, yes.
Yes. I mean, you could easily go. I mean, San Francisco doesn't need a lot of players, but you could go. If I'm Green Bay, I'd be like, give me Garoppolo, give me the number three pick. We'll just swap picks in the first round. Or I want both picks. So Green Bay would get the three pick And then we retain our pick. Then I want three other firsts. Folks, you're going to be taking these calls in a year. And by the way, Aaron's doing Jeopardy. Aaron, you know Aaron would take it tomorrow. You're not going to get any pushback from Aaron Rodgers. He can do Jeopardy and fly 38 minutes up to San Francisco. That's the team he wanted to get drafted by out of college. He played at Cal.
Yeah.
So the players for it.
I just see it as they are not really sold on who they want at number three.
I think my theory on this is it was Mac Jones, and they got unbelievable pushback in San Francisco and from the scouting department.
Yeah.
Because not a single one of my scouts or executives thinks Mac Jones is the first, second, or third best quarterback. None of them. Now, some have him four and like him, but there's a lot of my guys are five. So, listen, Kyle Shanahan has 4 years, three losing seasons. So, I'm just saying, I would, if I'm Green Bay, Garoppolo, the third pick, retain my pick in the first round.
There were other picks and players.
And three other picks in it. Hell yeah, I take the call. I'm going to take the call in a year anyway. I have to. I think sometimes I'm too willing to pivot off everything except my kids and my wife. I'm a pivoter. Maybe I'm just not loyal enough, but I
think that there's things that there's great value in being loyal to, like your kids and your wife. But
listen,
like Green Bay, to your point, is going to take these calls in a year. So what's the value of being loyal now?
They drafted Jordan Love. They're already moving on emotionally.
They did do that, yes. They did do that.
And Aaron's the biggest cap hit. That ain't going to change. He doesn't appear to want to restructure his deal. I may start drinking early tonight. Casper.com, code HERD100 for $100 off select mattresses. That's Casper.com, code HERD100. And go to NetSuite.com/herd. If you're still running on spreadsheets and QuickBooks, get out of there. Go to NetSuite. They'll show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour. We best for last. I'm sorry about that, but stuff's happening and we got to discuss it. This is crazy. I am outside of kids and wife. I'm taking calls.
Who had Tebow on their draft night bingo card?
Makes a little sense. We'll see you tomorrow live in LA. It's the Herd.